T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Willie P and Diesel here with you. It's the middle hour of the program we like to call Straight Up with Sturge. Well, we don't like to call it. The bosses like to call it Straight Up with Sturge. I like to call it the Willie P and Diesel Experience, but I do not have the authority to be able to do that. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. 71307 is the text line. Make sure that you put ESPN in the body of your text message. Be a part of the program. I would also like you to speak up a little more so that you could convince the natives that I did not kill you whilst in the car this weekend, that I kept you incredibly safe on I-85 and 76.
Incredibly is a stretch. You, on the way back, you said, "See, I didn't endanger you this time." I said, You said, "I'm not texting and driving." I said, "You're not texting and driving as much."
I don't text and drive. I have the little Apple CarPlay thing, and whenever I get a text from the Apple...
He has to pick up his phone, divert his attention away from the road...
No, because...
...to clear the message so that he can then look back at the road.
Well, I don't like
attention
having
diverted.
This. I have this attention deficit disorder. I can't have this thing blinking if like someone's up there whilst I'm driving. I need to clear the message. I don't
Point
text
being,
back.
I was still at risk.
I don't text back. I make sure that the message is cleared, and that's how that works. If you've ever left on red, that's basically the issue. That's what happens. This is what happens here, folks. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number. Gamecock fans should be crowing today. So this is also proof of the fact that in our business, nothing sells like bad things. Nothing sells like apathy. Nothing sells like agony. Because quite honestly, when things are great, no one ever wants to call in and talk about how great everything is. For example, Clemson fans, everything's great for y'all today. You look back to normal. Everything that you could have possibly had happen positively for you in that contest happened. You gumped out to a big lead. Trevor Lawrence played like we know he's capable of playing. Travis Etienne was doing well. Dabo Sweeney complimented his pass blocking. Defense forced turnovers, got big plays. And also a pick six from Darion Kendrick, which we'll talk about later on in the program. And once again, Florida State does not look like even Florida State does when it comes to their particular lack of just anything positive happening for them. And Willie Taggart once again looks like a buffoon who's in charge of a football program. So everything's positive for you. You guys have been in cruise control ever since you were calling out self-denial with what happened against North Carolina. So I didn't expect to hear from you. I expected to hear a lot more from game fans at 844-GSP-ESPN. This was probably the greatest victory of your team's history. Not probably. It was the greatest victory in the history of your program. Now, I know people will say, "Oh, well, 2010, that signaled the turnaround of the greatest 3 years in Gamecock football history." That might be so. But in the moment, you were a ranked football team. You had another ranked football team coming into your building. Yes, that ranked football team happened to be number one in the nation and just happened to be Alabama. That Alabama team at the end of the year went on to play in the Capital One Bowl. The Capital One Bowl. Okay. Okay. That game on Saturday was the greatest victory in school history. At me if you disagree. At Willie P Style, at Diesel on Radio, at ESPN Upstate, and at 844-GSP-ESPN. You were a 3-4 score underdog in this football game on the road. You had your third string quarterback in there. You needed a little help from a kicker who was normally reliable, somebody who, quite honestly, at the end of the year might still call himself the SEC's all-conference kicker in Rodrigo Blankenship. But your defense came to play. And oh, by the way, Mr. Defensive Head Coach needed to come to play. The last couple of games, this defense has been awesome. Granted, one of them was against Kentucky, which, again, Kentucky might as well play in the ACC. They're so bad. Who said that? Who said that? Who said that? That was not right. That was not nice. That was a bit toxic. Be that as it may, this was the game. This was the signature performance of the career of Will Muschamp. And this is the performance that, oh, by the way, keeps him in Columbia longer than 2020. Hi, Mark. Longer than 2020. Michael Stathakis, who was tweeting us at ESPN Upstate, he says, Alabama signaled the turnaround that was happening. This may go down in that same light, but it's too early to tell if it's a signifier. And you said the same thing, Diesel. I'm not looking at you and saying you're wrong. We have to find out how this team responds. But make no mistake, in a vacuum is just the fact that you need to look at this from the standpoint of where this program was on this date as opposed to where the program was in 2010. 2010, you could see the first fruits of a lot of the people thinking that this could be something special. You could see South Carolina possibly playing for the East title. You could see South Carolina going to Atlanta to play for the SEC title. This is a situation where no one was seeing anything of that for South Carolina. You were all counting down the days and looking underneath couch cushions and trying to find any way possible, setting up GoFundMe alerts to get your head coach fired because of the large buyout that he has in his contract. Well earned, by the way. And oh, by the way, all that included. There were people who were rejoicing when the starting quarterback went down game one of the season. All that in place. In the tenor of that environment, you go down a win in the toughest place you have to play at it in this division, you make no apologies there. You say nothing about 2010 Alabama at home. Alabama. What's Alabama? This is Georgia we're talking about. We're talking about Georgia. Will Harper tweets us at ESPN Upstate. Win to clinch the East against Florida in 2010 was bigger, I think. Most surprising? Probably. Biggest? No. Our man Double Nichols tweets us at ESPN Upstate. The fact that this game is still number two to the majority of USC fans is yet another slap in the face of Georgia. And I do want to say something about Georgia. Georgia's fraud. Georgia's a stone-cold fraud. Dick Fromm is not the bill of goods we were sold in the preseason. Jake Fromm was not the bill of goods we were sold in the week leading up to this game. I told you that stat from Pro Football Focus last week. I have some questions about Pro Football Focus now, because I don't know what the heck they were grading. That wasn't the quarterback we saw on Saturday. Not even in the least. The problem that I have to say about this is that while this is probably more about Georgia than it was about South Carolina, do not take the credit away from South Carolina. Do not, in one iota of this, take any credit away from South Carolina, because South Carolina's defense needed to play up to the standard of the team that they were playing, and they did every bit of it. Javon Kinlaw made himself some more money yesterday, and Israel Mukwamu had one of the greatest individual defensive games this side of Jadeveon Clowney. Three interceptions, including a pick six. I mean, that man basically took care of the game on his own. Texter from the 864 at 71307 says, who's to say Georgia won't be in the Cotton Bowl? Also love your honesty of the ACC. Don't hear that much in the upstate. Thankful you're not biased. Appreciate. I'm hoping that's genuine. Thankful you're not biased, because I'm not. I'm very much not biased. I just try to keep everything real, folks. That Georgia team that we saw on Saturday making the Cotton Bowl, do you think that team's beating Florida? Do you think that team's beating Auburn? That's the thing. It's like people are so quick to isolate a loss like that as a one-game effort. Oh, well, you know, it's fine. You know, they'll come back. They'll still win out. It's funny. A lot of Georgia fans looked at the situation that took place against Notre Dame, and they said, oh, well, it's just a one-game blip. Oh, it was more about Notre Dame than anything. So people are always willing to look at that and say, oh, my goodness, this is a one-game outlier, and it doesn't have any effect on the rest of the year. You don't get that many data points, guys. You're not allowed to have one of those. And in your building in the conference, you're just not. Rush Watson tweets us at ESPN Upstate. We're asking you whether or not you think that the 2019 South Carolina win over Georgia, biggest in school history. I say yes. Rush says, not sure I'd take it as a signifier. Muschamp tried real hard to undercut a pretty valiant effort by y'all, especially with a third string quarterback. I don't know about that. Muschamp didn't undercut anything. He gave all the credit in the world to Georgia, I would say. We played the clip in the beginning. We said, hey, you know, it was a pretty hard-fought effort by both sides. And he even said in his comments that aired on TV, it was a shame that anybody had to lose that game. Which it was. That was the kind of game it was. It was the kind of game that the Diesel and I were sitting in the Clemson press box, and our attention was literally divided for almost the entire first quarter of the Clemson game, not just because of watching the South Carolina game, but quite honestly, the initial shock afterwards, they could have had naked women on the field and I wouldn't have been paying attention. Maybe not.
There was only one television about 15 yards away from us that everyone was watching.
Well, it's because they
on that press row.
They had done the thing where we switched all the monitors to the game that's in front of us, which I understand why they do it like that. But I'd also like to have another monitor on, like, what else is going on so that I don't have to keep it at my seat, because that's what I do at my seat. I'll put another monitor on a different game because, quite honestly, sitting at Clemson games, you watch Clemson games. If you watch any Clemson game over the last 3 years in that building, guess what? I haven't seen them lose in that building. And there was one game that I've been at that honestly was in doubt in the second half. Actually, two. I take that back. There was two. South Carolina game last year was a little nutty, put it that way. Aside from that and the Syracuse game a year ago, most of the games I've seen in that building, I'm, twiddling my thumbs in the third and fourth quarter, trying to channel surf, if you will. So, yes, the fact that there was a huge crowd around that one TV told you everything you needed to know about that game and how significant it was. And, oh, by the way, if you're a Clemson fan, let me just point this out to you. That win helped you. That South Carolina win helped you significantly. It knocked out a playoff contender because going into the day, there were about seven you could consider playoff contenders. Now there's six, and two of them play head-to-head in the Big Ten and in the SEC. So there's going to be a knockout situation that happens with those two. There wasn't going to be it could have been a possibility that there wouldn't have been a knockout scenario that would have happened if Georgia had stayed undefeated all the way through. Georgia's done. Georgia's not going to the playoff. Quit trying to say it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Because I don't see them being unblemished the rest of the way. Might still win the East, which is more of an indictment on the East than anything. But guess what? I don't think they're going to the playoff. And because of that, I'd look at it and I'd say, you know what? That's a good win for us. Because guess what? Not only does it help us knocking out a playoff contender, but it also helps our strength of schedule as a Clemson fan. Helps our strength of schedule. It is in your best interest. Stop me if you've heard this one, Clemson fan. It is in your best interest to have a good South Carolina team on your schedule. It doesn't help them to be good enough for you to beat them, or for you to not be able to beat them, I should say. You want them to be good enough to where they have a good showing in the regular season before you whoop their butt, if you're a Clemson fan. That's what your mentality should be. It shouldn't be, we want South Carolina to be crappy. We want them to be 0-12. No, that should not be your mentality. Your mentality is you should want good college football teams on your schedule. Tweeter says, Muschamp was wrong. It was a shame either team won. Both teams tried to hand the game over. I will agree with that. The 57-yard field goal thing, I took exception to. I did not like. It was the only thing that he did all day that I didn't like. Did not like the 57-yard field goal attempt. I would have rather gone for it or punted. The 57-yard field goal was third best on the three decisions you could have made on that play. And guess what? He made the third one. But guess what? You win the game, that's a footnote. It's not a headline. It's a footnote. Texter says ESPN Pitt 2016 in Death Valley. Oh, that's funny. As he says, that's the biggest Gamecock victory was Pitt 2016 in Death Valley. Yeah, well, that ended up not being a big deal because they ended up winning the championship anyway, man. Sorry. Guy also goes, my southern voice is lacking. My southern voice is lacking? Is that what you're saying? My southern voice?
Please stop. That's so bad.
So bad?
So bad.
Easy. 844-GSP, ESPN, the phone number, text line 71307. We'll talk some NFL right now. Panthers and some NFL teams that are going south. Wasn't a good game for Jarrah and the Cowboys. The Rams didn't look good. And we could be a week or so away from another firing in the National Football League. That comes your way next on ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This just into the ESPN newsroom. Boston College will be without starting quarterback Anthony Brown for the rest of the season. He hurt his left knee trying to make a cut against Louisville on October 5th. They had an open date last week, and Steve Adazio made the announcement at his weekly press conference this week. Second time in three seasons he's suffered a season-ending knee injury. Did so as a redshirt freshman in 2017. Late in the year against NC State, enter redshirt sophomore Dennis Grossel, who relieved Brown against Louisville, nearly led a comeback win, throwing three touchdown passes. It'll be Clemson against Boston College a week from Saturday. That's the next time they're home in Death Valley. We found out that the time for that game was announced earlier on today, Monday, and that, of course, will be a 7:30 kick on the ACC network, as my vamping skills need a little work. Again, noon this weekend against Louisville, noon for South Carolina against Florida. Their game a week from Saturday against Tennessee is a 4 p.m. kick on the SEC network.
Also noon for App State hosting Louisiana Monroe.
Monroe. Either way, your Mountaineers, number 24 in the
24.
Nation.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, not bad.
In fact, both our almas mater are in the rankings.
Is that how you pluralize alma mater?
Both of our almas mater are in the rankings this week. Missouri, number 22. Although we're the official position of this radio show is we still don't care. That's the official position of this radio show, is that we still don't care, and the Jets still can't hurt me, even though they did win this weekend.
I tuned into the last probably minute of that game, and I thought, oh, cool, Dallas is going to come back and win this game. Almost recovered that onside kick.
Almost recovered the onside kick, which, again, Jim Nantz astutely pointed out, doesn't happen anymore. Literally does not happen anymore.
He says, like, the stat is, like, six recoveries out of 92. 90 attempts.
Yeah, it's because of the new rule. You have to have equal people on each side. You have to have five a side, so you can't stack the one side. And you get no running start. So you have to basically start at a standstill, whereas they used to be able to get a five-yard running start. They've completely the idea was proposed that you basically get a fourth and 15 from, I believe it was your own 30 or your own 25, and you basically have to get 15 yards on one play as like a pass, like an onside pass. That's a better idea for an onside kick than an actual onside kick, personally.
God, you'd see some people coming up with some really crazy plays for that situation.
And by the way, if that was the rule, I wouldn't kick it ever. I'd be throwing it every freaking time. Every time. Especially if I had a halfway decent quarterback.
You score, your offense is hot, you probably have the defense a little bit tired. That'd be a good time to run it.
Speaking of kickers, we'll get into those in a moment. Texter from the 843 in the Lowcountry asks at ESPN Upstate and also at the text line 71307. Willie P., thoughts on Dabo ripping BT Potter a new one for the missed field goal, excessive or fair? Absolutely fair, because kickers aren't people. Convince me otherwise. And you don't realize the reason why he was ripping him, and we were talking about this in the press box, and I think they showed it on the game broadcast. Allstate had one of those little kicker contests for a fan during the game, during one of the timeouts, and he hit a 25-yarder. Again, no rush. Hit a 25-yard field goal from the middle of the field to win $1,000.
But also, this is a guy who doesn't do this for a living.
$1,000 from 25 yards out.
How long do you think that guy's been practicing since he found out? Like a week, 2 weeks?
I don't know how much lead time they get. I know. So this is a story now. So we had something similar with one of the bowl games. I want to say it was Dr. Pepper. It's back in the BCS era. We had this when I was in Missouri. We had a guy who came to us, was from Mizzou, who was a Mizzou student, and it was one of, like, the big ones where it was like you ended up basically, it was a head-to-head. It was a competition-type thing, and you had to hit as many in a particular point in time as you needed to. It was from the extra point distance or whatever. And so he asked, he said, could you put us in touch with one of the old Mizzou kickers to try and train on this, or one of the Missouri kickers? We happen to have a good relationship with one of the guys who runs a kicking camp, who was a former Missouri kicker at the time, and we basically helped this kid win whatever it was. It was a more sizable amount of money than that.
Now imagine if somebody like Rodrigo Blankenship could show up to a kicking camp, make a couple shekels for showing up. Name, image, and likeness. Everybody who says, if you're not a star running back or a star basketball player, you're not going to have opportunities. Kicking camps exist. You can have star kickers, maybe not at the tail end of that South Carolina game, but he's a star otherwise.
Trying to figure out how much money we got this kid. And no, I didn't get a cut either. But either way, it was kind of cool. And oh, here it is. BCS title game. 25-yard field goal. One out of 35,000 who signed up. I'm finding this now on it basically was hitting him and basically won the contest. Basically, he won it out of 35,000 people. So there you go. Ended up going to the facility there, which was pretty cool. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number, text line 71307. To the NFL we go. It was the Carolina Panthers victorious in London over the Buccaneers. Revenge game, 37-26. We need to give some respect to the Carolina Panthers, Kyle Allen, and Ron Rivera, because this team has come out and played like gangbusters since Cam Newton went down. Four consecutive victories, including this one in the division, which evens up the season series. They'll split it. Panthers lost that game at home on Thursday night, but they came out in London, and according to Ron Rivera, they continue to roll.
He's been very consistent for us. He's made the plays we needed, you know, and I think that's a big part of why we felt so confident coming into training camp with the guys that we had, you know, because we know what we have with Kyle. We know what we potentially could have with Will. And quite honestly, Taylor Heinicke is a guy that we felt comfortable with as well. So we just felt we had a good situation with our backup guys.
And it was a game where they didn't get their best output from Christian McCaffrey, limited to just 57 yards on 26 touches. Remember, we were talking about McCaffrey and possible MVP chatter last week. Well, he kind of threw that out the window, but he did spread the ball, did Kyle Allen, to five different receivers, including McCaffrey. DJ Moore had a big day, seven catches, 73 yards. How about Curtis Samuel? Long touchdown catch for him. He had 70 yards receiving and also 8 yards rushing. Allen, 20 of 32 for 227, two touchdowns, and he still has yet to throw an interception. But he credited all sides of the team, not just the rest of his offense, but his defense, special teams, in playing the kind of football they needed to increase this win streak to four.
So we're a really complete team. And don't forget, Christian still had two touchdowns today. He may not have a lot of rushing yards, but he still makes a huge impact on this game. A fourth down touchdown on that run, and then a huge play where he made a couple guys miss and scored. So I think we're a really complete team. We're playing complimentary football right now. We're making the plays we need to.
And I told you once again that this part of the schedule was the part of the schedule where if you won all three, this is part of the schedule where you could possibly get yourself a chance at the postseason. Now you're in a situation where you're going up against a 49er team on the road, still undefeated. They're the unsung story right now in the NFL. Not enough people are talking about how great they're playing. Jimmy Garoppolo is in the conversation for MVP. The way this team looks is absolutely extraordinary. And because of that, could be a situation where the luck kind of comes out here. But you have the Titans a week from now, sandwiched between the game against the Packers. You get the hapless Falcons a couple of weeks after that. And then the height of your division schedule with a couple of games against the Saints, Redskins, another Falcon game in there. This is a team that can go to the playoffs if you win the right games. Meanwhile, hapless nature of some other teams that are continuing right now, including the Dallas Cowboys, who lost their third consecutive game and has Jerry Jones talking to himself. He was not happy.
This was a big game to us, right here. One in your division is big. This is a big game. We could have been 4-2. And it doesn't have anything to do with. I don't care if they now are 5-0 or 4-1-4. We suffered another loss because of them, and whatever did positive them, that's great. It was a bloody nose to us.
Aw. Is there nothing better than watching the Cowboys lose? I mean, really, honestly, truly, is there nothing better than watching the Cowboys lose? Ugh. Gives me such great admiration and just joy to see the Cowboys lose. Ugh. Because and it's not just because of anything involving Jerry. It's the Cowboy fans are some of the most insufferably, abjectly loyal fans to a fault of any in the entire history of American sports. Yankee fans or Cowboy fans, either of those two. See, here's the thing. Yankee fans at least have the skins on the wall. I happen to personally abjectly hate the Yankees, but they at least have the skins on the wall. Dallas hasn't been relevant in the sport for damn near 20 years. Really more like 25. Honestly. And yet, they keep getting force-fed down our throat. They had the audacity to put this game as the main game on CBS for no other reason other than they know that Cowboy fans will watch and they're polarizing enough product that they'll get eyeballs. Because if you don't want to watch them win, you damn near want to watch them lose. But guess what? Little engine that could, known as the New York Jets, came in there and got one off of them. Too bad. So sad. What has happened to the powerhouse once known as the Los Angeles Rams? Oof. Speaking of the team that we talked about earlier, the team that's not getting enough credit, the San Francisco 49ers, was that more about the 49ers or more about the Rams? Jared Goff held to 78 yards passing and a quarterback rating of 60, which, by the way, quarterback rating, completely a useless stat after yesterday because, quite honestly, 3.3 yards per attempt, yeah, it's not good. That's not good. The Rams, as a team, held to 157 total yards.
Pathetic.
Oy. 3.1 yards per play, less than what Georgia had, by the way. And San Francisco won with only 4.4 yards per play.
Pillow fight of the week is what you're saying.
Shouldn't have been. Two teams that are in a divisional game. Garoppolo outgained them through the air on his own. 24 of 33 for 243. Jared Goff said later on this week, it's not necessarily a good look for our ball club.
It's a gut check. Are you who you say you are? And, you know, I know this team is. I know these players are. I know our coaches are. And, you know, we've got so much faith and belief in Sean and everyone else. And, I mean, we're going to get right back on track. We're going to do it. And, again, it takes a few plays here and there. And we've seen it. We've done it. We've watched it on film. We know what we're doing. We just need to be consistent.
Three straight wins to open the season against the Panthers, Saints, and Browns. Three straight losses since against the Bucs at Seattle and home against the Niners. Who do they get next week? Oh, yes, the ultimate get-well medicine, the Atlanta Falcons. Did you see how they lost this weekend? Guess how it happened, Diesel. It was the kicker. Extra point missed by Matt Bryant. I think he had one of the best kicking percentages on the lengthened extra points since they moved it back. But truth be told, and to be fair to him, this game was lost by a once again porous Falcon defense that failed once again to step up to the plate when Matt Ryan had only four incompletions, threw for 360 plus yards, four touchdowns, and they still lose. After Ryan had a game, what looked like a game-tying touchdown pass, Matt Bryant biffs the extra point, and the Falcons are now 1-5 under head coach Dan Quinn.
This guy has made a million kicks and is pressure and as clutch as you come. So there isn't anybody you'd rather have in that moment. Kicks, extra points, field goals. There's nobody. He's one of the most mentally tough football players I've been around. And it hurts today, but he'll make big kicks for us again this year.
So bad. If only there was a way to fix the NFL to where kicking would not be a factor in the last 2 minutes. Oh, wait, I had one. I found out, by the way, the gentleman who won basically tickets to the BCS title game, 2013 Chevy Silverado truck, a Tahoe speedboat, a Victory Judge motorcycle, and prizes totaling $120,000.
And the guy yesterday got $1,000?
Yeah.
Come on.
I did the wrong contest. That's how that worked. 844-GSP-ESPN. The phone number, text line 71307. We haven't spent a lot of time on Clemson's victory, but we will next. We'll tell you what one of the biggest position changes that impacted the Clemson 2019 football team had its culminating moment. And also, I asked Trevor Lawrence exactly how much did this team feel like itself on Saturday. His answer and more next on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app. Clemson victorious 45-14 over Florida State. 552 total yards wouldn't be looked at as anything that would be anything to sneeze at if you looked at the rest of Clemson's totals in games of this nature. But I think the thing that you have to look at and focus on is the fact that this was the kind of performance that we hadn't seen from Clemson this season against an ACC foe. And the other part of this, too, that you have to factor in also is the fact that it just now finally seemed that Clemson looked like itself. I asked Trevor Lawrence, and literally anybody else who would listen, how much did this team look like itself? And not only how much did it look like itself, but how much did this team need this particular performance against Florida State?
The way we played 2 weeks ago, we wanted to prove that we're a better team than that and that we can do a lot more than what we did. And we have high expectations for ourselves, just like a lot of people do. So it's the same thing. We just want to play well, and I think we played really well tonight.
Is this the most of your offense felt like itself?
I think so. I felt like we were just really efficient and executed well, and we were just rolling. Like I said, tempo, that really got us in a rhythm, and we felt confident just going down the field. I felt like every play we called, we were confident in, and we were ready just to attack.
So there you go. That is from the horse's mouth. They needed to. And believe me, think about the way Dabo Swinney sounded this past week. He was telling everybody who could listen that this team was okay, everything was fine. He went on a little bit of a rant in the post game. I don't think he directed it towards me, but he was directing it toward people who, I guess, tried to besmirch Trevor and whether or not he had a bruise, and was kind of a carryover from his Wednesday musings about what happened with Trevor Lawrence's shoulder. I didn't take that personally. Either way, that being said, there's a lot when it comes to this team that needed to happen. The one thing I think also needed to happen was that you needed to see the first signature moment from Darion Kendrick. And that pick six was everything you could possibly expect from that. This is what he had to say, or this is what Brent Venables had to say about DK's big pick six.
It's been a long time coming. That was a cover two zone blitz. And we weren't great. DK wasn't great. And calls similar to that. In that call, at taking, what was there, what he did today, and I think we showed him a clip of Mark Fields against Boston College, pick six, and a similar call, and I think because it's funny, I've been praising AJ. We got one corner on the team that can play this scheme. This is easily the easiest scheme that. And allows you to be most aggressive, and yet for some reason we can't. Coach can practice it and drill it, but we can't. You guys are just afraid and stink at executing, so I'm just not going to call it. That's one way. Like I said, I should learn, I should know better, and I went big to do about it, and so it was great to see.
He did his job on that play?
Yeah, I did his job, yeah. That's what should happen.
That's why I love going up to Venables after every game. He is the most honest. I get more out of talking to Brent Venables than I get out of talking to anybody else inside that room after a Clemson game. Because Brent Venables will just tell you like it is, tell you what he has to say. I also got a chance to go one-on-one with Darion Kendrick about his big moment. First real big moment since making the position switch from one side of the football to the other.
I was reading my keys, and I read them well, and I seen the ball release out of his hand. I knew I had it.
How much does getting an interception return for a touchdown kind of culminate the work that you've done to try and get to a different position, different side of the field, all that stuff that you've done since the spring?
Just every day going into the day knowing that my position is not like I'm not staying there.
just being able to work, knowing that I got people behind me and they can take my spot at any time. So I just got to work harder.
How much did you feel your spot was threatened after the way you guys played?
It's not really threatened, but if I don't play up to my standard, I know I'll be pulled out. So
how about that? Playing like he thought that he could have his spot threatened. And you know what? After what we saw on Saturday, spot's not threatened anymore. Again, Clemson taking on Louisville. Noon kick this weekend. It'll be an early wake-up for the Ingles College Football Saturday for Mark, Fatboy, Non, and the boys. 9 o'clock we have that pregame show beginning. I believe that's not – actually, no, I'm sorry. That's a 7 o'clock for them. 7 a.m. they had to be up for that. The Ingles College Football kickoff, 7-9 on 93.3, the Planet of Sister Station, and that culminates, of course, with the coverage of the game. By the way, we will be, I have to make sure we say this, we will be in the house at the Well on Friday. Greenville Swamp Rabbits home opener, both shows. Mark Ryan with Offsides and yours truly here on Straight Up with Sturge. We will be at the Well at Bon Secours Wellness Arena, ringing in the brandy new season for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. Home opener Friday night. Looking forward to it. We get to talk some hockey, Diesel. Willie P is excited. I am so excited about that. And that is not fake. That is not fake enthusiasm. I am so excited to talk some hockey here on ESPN Upstate. Fantastic stuff. They have a great partner. We're going to air the game and a couple of others as well here on ESPN Upstate. So very, very excited to hear and have that as the Swamp Rabbits get underway against the Jacksonville Icemen. So very, very much looking forward to that. They did end up winning their season opener in overtime over Jacksonville by a score of 4-3 in overtime. Non-sports story of the day that will make you smile and smirk comes your way next. We will talk about a very unique approach to shoplifting that I hadn't heard before. This is a don't try this at home. This is a warning to you if you might be a retailer. Next on ESPN Upstate. So this one's a new one on me. Police arrested a woman at a Walmart after they say she burned price tags on merchandise with the intent of stealing them. She used a torch lighter and then placed the merchandise in the bag so that it would not come off on a security check at the door. This was at a Walmart. 34-year-old Jennifer Durbin attempted to exit the store with the unpaid merchandise but was stopped by store security and the police. They took her to Bartholomew County Jail. She faces preliminary charges of theft for the prior conviction, level 6 felony, and resisting law enforcement. So, by the way, she also had priors. Stolen merchandise valued...
Are you surprised?
Yeah, no. Stolen merchandise was valued over $100 and it was returned to the Walmart. This was in Columbus, Indiana, by the way. Columbus, Indiana. Burgeoning metropolis known as Columbus, Indiana. I made it seem like it was going to be a Florida or Ohio situation, but it was not. It was Columbus, Indiana.
There are rednecks everywhere.
They put it this way: she's not. I'll just leave it. I'm gonna leave it sitting. I'm gonna leave your comment sitting right there. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. You want to hear Will Muschamp curse? He'll do so next. Don't worry, we bleeped it out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.